Good morning, church family.
Good morning.
Let's do it again. Good morning, church family.
Good morning.
I can see the faces of quite a few visitors. Just the visitors, please. Would you just raise your hand? And may the Lord reach down and touch it. All right. Thank you so much for being in our church today. And I hope you find the same way, the same path that you found to get here. I hope you go through that path many times. So we'd like to see you again and again. What happened a few days ago that everybody's talking about? Anybody had an idea what we were talking about? Yes. How a pastor talks about this subject without sound political. That'll be a little challenge, but we will inform you that we have no intention to criticize or support one idea or the other. Besides what is in the Bible, I don't have much value for other concepts or ideas or whatever you want to call it in a political way, whatever you want to be as careful as you are, because you are God's child and you are not in the business of offending anybody. So I understand, but there are moments in life that we have to address some subjects. And there is one subject we must address no matter what is life. I'm going to ask a question, but please nobody answer, okay? I'm not looking for an answer. How many of you here are very happy that your mom value life? Your mother value life. Therefore, you have received the privilege to be among the living. You could have been just a statistic. One more that have been cast out, thrown away, as if we are not intended to be in this life. I want for you to pay very close attention to this text, because this text is very revealing. This text alone destroys every concept that people have out there to justify killing an innocent child. Look at the first part. I knew you before I formed you. Who is God talking about? I wish I would have a different answer. He's talking about me. He's not talking about Jeremiah. To Jeremiah, he talked to Jeremiah, but now he's talking to us. Because if this was only God talking to Jeremiah, this would be not written in the Bible. It's written in the Bible because it is talking about you. So I want you to read this, because this is in the Bible because of you. It says, I knew you. God is speaking to you today. I knew you before you were formed. How can that be? Science tells me that unless I have all my members, everything else, the brain, everything formed, I am not a human being. Therefore, it can be discarded. It can be tossed away. It can be harvested for parts. Donor. And there are a lot of business people that are making millions and millions of dollars harvesting parts of babies that have been destroyed. He says, I knew you and I formed you in your mother's womb. Before you were born, I set you apart. Do you know what the word set apart means? I sanctified you. I made you very unique, very special. A person with a purpose. Any life that has no purpose is almost not a life at all. God designed us to have life and our life with a purpose. So it's very important. In this case, he was appointed to be a prophet. Do we have any prophets here today? Do you know what the word prophet means? Anybody knows?
He is a messenger.
Thank you, brother. Many people think about the word prophet as somebody who predicts. Now, every single believer is a prophet in a sense of being a messenger. Thank you, brother. Yeah, I heard you. Thank you. It is important for us to understand that in God's church, everybody is called to teach, to be a messenger. So, a messenger just for a particular group, no, for all nations. Now, the title of our message today. The title that we chose, The Value of Life. Now, a life without value does not value much. Have you noticed that that's the case, that there are people that are around somewhere, they are not doing much with their lives. Why? Because they lack values. The question that I'd like to present to you this morning is, what is the value of a human life? What is the value? I was doing some research, and I found a company. This is a company from India. It calls Kotak Life. It's a life insurance company. It is a company that has been more than almost close to 35 million people have subscribed to their service. They have this article that says human life value. For the purpose of insurance, they decide to create 5 steps how to value a life. Here are the 5 steps. Oops, that page was supposed to be there. It says, step 1, determine your current income. Many times we value people for how much they make. If they make millions, we almost revere them. But if they don't make too much, even before barely a minimal, sometimes don't pay attention too much to them. Subtract your expenses, insurance premiums, and also income tax payments. Now, the third one, it says, identify the number of earnings years that is remaining before you retire. And you notice that it's a lot about income. Number 4, find the inflation and discounting factor rate. And finally, it says, determine the current value of the required income screen to adjust inflation. It says if you use these 5 steps, then for sure you will know how much you're worth, your life. Who said that? When? Many people said this. God said this only on the 1500s when the Egyptians left Egypt. To Adam and Eve, God said, don't eat or you die. In other words, don't kill yourselves. Don't disobey. Before, many, many centuries before, thousands of years before, Mount Sinai. In heaven, the angels, they sinned. And what happened? Not only they were taken out of heaven, but they became the destroyer, death himself. So you shall not murder. When is a murder a murder? Is there a murder that is justifiable? There's a killing that can be justifiable. For example, they say that there are cases of self-defense. Or when soldiers go to war. But even in war, no matter how devastating it is, it still have rules. Look what happened after the Second World War. There was a trial. And people were sentenced to death because they were cruel. They disobeyed the rules of engagement, as they call it. And so You shall not murder. There are cases that people say, oh, it's justifiable. Let me ask you a question. Does the state have the right to take a life of anybody? Let me ask again. Does the state have the right, or the government, or the federal government, has the right to take the life of anyone? Biblically, no. But if they have a law that allows the state to do it, there are some states in our nation that do have a death penalty. Now, what is amazing for me that I have a time to understand, and I hope that you are as amazed as I am, there are people who call themselves Christians that they believe that in some circumstances to take a life of another human being is justifiable. All for the comfort of the woman is a woman's right. All for this reason, for that reason, they always try to find one way or the other a justification to say that death is acceptable. I like to listen to other pastors, especially if they preach the right thing. I was listening to this pastor. He has been in the ministry for more than 40 years. I'll tell you someday his name because I want you to listen to his messages as well. I was just mentioning to one of your members here this morning about this pastor. He was talking about in a sermon how people inside of our Christian churches become so mean and become so aggressive. And this pastor says this, and I agree 100% because that's the way that I have been talking to everyone who cares to listen. I say, is because their view of God, because Christians see God so mean and so cruel, and they come to church and they become just like their God. There are Christians who believe that God kills, therefore I have the right to kill too. I think they need to know more God before they make such a decisions. God says, thou shalt not murder. What is that? What does that remind you of? Egypt. There was this Pharaoh that decided to be the first to, head of the state that wants to promote abortion. And full-term abortion. He decided that these people that are living in our land, they should not multiply anymore. So every time the lady was about to give birth and the baby came and was a male, thrown to the crocodiles. Since 1973, more than 60 million children in the United States have been thrown to the crocodiles. I don't like to use the word abortion. I don't. Do you know why? Because it is, when you play baseball, they said a soft ball. You know, abortion is a word that they try to make it soft. So that people don't feel the impact, the mental impact, because we are created by God and all of us have the law of God inside of us. So we know that it's wrong. But then we start to allow ourselves to be indoctrinated by somebody else so that we can all feel guilty and we go and do it. In Egypt, this Pharaoh, he said, we must do it. Even the Egyptians said it was a bad idea. It's cruel. We cannot do it. But then Pharaoh tell them, we must do it because if we don't do it, they will become strong and they will join our enemies and they will attack us. Why am I saying this to you, brothers and sisters? Because if there is one history behind murder, is that everyone tried to justify it. Pharaoh did. And here's another few names for you too.
Balaam.
You know what Balaam, I have Balaam and Judas together? Because they are both men of God that decide to betray, to sell their countrymen for a few dollars. For them, life was meaningless, all that they needed. What about Cain? Did Cain kill his brother for money? Some people say no. Why did he kill his brother? Because he says he was so in love with himself that he decided that nobody else was worth living but himself. In one single day, he destroyed his entire family. He killed his brother, and he took his sister away with him. Now, imagine if Cain was in favor of abortion, as they call it. All that he has to do is not to take his sister with him, and then Cain's lineage would be gone. But he took his sister with him, and they procreate all the little Cains. Joseph's brothers. They want to get rid of him. He was an inconvenience. Isn't that the argument that most people use? It says, I don't have the money. How am I? I still have a wonderful life ahead of me. I have dreams. I need a profession. I need this. And to have a child is going to be a burden that I cannot carry. Therefore, I want the right to eliminate this inconvenience. Yes, Cain eliminated his brother because his brother became inconvenience. What is the price of life? In Matthew 16:26, it says, for what does it benefit a person if he or she gains the whole world, all the conveniences that you need or you want, but in exchange, you lose your life? I read a true story, about an individual. He's not a Seventh-day Adventist, but he's a Christian. At least he says so. And when he was little, 11 years, almost 12, he was 11 years, his parents gave him some chores around the house and told him, we will pay you to motivate the young fellow. And he got busy, and after he finished his chores, his parents gave him a lot of money, 50 cents. Some of you may laugh because you think that 50 cents is not much, but it was in his time. You know why? Because to go into amusement park, all he had to pay, because he was still 11, was 25 cents to get in. So it was a lot of money. And his parents told him, 10% is to go to church, it belongs to God. Then you have to choose another portion as an offering. So he decided to give another 10% for offering. So out of the 50 cents, actually he had only 40 cents in his hand. So he said, I'm going to pay for the park, 25 cents. I still have enough money for me to buy ice cream, to buy a sandwich, to buy a soda. A whole day. I'm going to party the whole day. And this kid went to the park. Those days when they could go by themselves, he went to the park and he enjoyed. But a few days later, he became 12. Now, the parents gave him some chores to do it again. And he received another 50 cents. He did the same thing. He went to the park. But when he got to the park, he realized that up to 11, it was 25 cents. But once that you reach 12, now you had to pay the grown-up fee. Now it's 35. But then he thought, the part, the man, the cells, the ticks, they do not know that I have my birthday. I still look like the same. You know, just a few days, if I look in the mirror, I'm the same. So he went and says, I want this ticket. Are you 11? And he says, yes. Lied. And so the man gave him the ticket. And he went inside the park and he had extra money to buy sweets and ice cream and everything else. And he was so proud that he was able to accomplish, he was able to pass as a 12, I mean as 11 when he was already 12. So he went home and he was so proud of what he did. He told his father, Father, you have no idea how clever your son is. I did this. And his father used this Bible text and told him, didn't say that was wrong or anything else. All that the father said to him is this: for what does it benefit to you, my son, if you gain the whole world, but in exchange you lose your life? This boy said, my father didn't show an angry face. My mother did not show any angry face. They didn't say anything else. That's all that I heard. But that pierced my heart to the point that changed my entire life. I never, ever used the same technique to deceive anybody again, because I realized that my life was worth much more than a few pennies that I could get by deception. Or what can a person give in exchange for his life? I wonder, of those 60, approximately around 60 million people, you know, my wife, she was born in Chile. Just for curiosity, I checked the population. The present population of Chile is not even 20 million. 60 million in the past 50 years that has been sacrificed in this country alone. It could be 3 or 4 Chiles. Countries. Let me ask you this question. We are about celebrating the one great day for this nation, which is they call independence. When this country got the right to be a self-governing country. And it has been a blessing for the whole world. But unfortunately, we do also share the blessings with the world, but we share our garbage also. You know, we share a lot of bad things with the world, and the world cops us too. And so Satan has been using us the same way God has used the nation. Satan has used the nation for many things too, sadly, but that's the reality. Until Jesus Christ comes, that's the way it is. I saw a T-shirt this week that says, normal is not coming back, but Jesus is.
Amen.
Isn't that a great T-shirt? Normal is not coming back. Forget it. We never go back there again. But Jesus is. And you know what Jesus is? He is bringing normal back. And it's normal back to stay forever.
Amen.
Normal is coming back, brothers and sisters, with Jesus, and he stay forever. Then God said, let us make human beings in our image and likeness. So if I have the Bible text, it says that children is a gift from God. So that means that everyone who is going through the process and get conceived and have a child, and then decide to kill that child, and that means that a person is saying to God, you give me life, but I don't want life. So what does that say about that a human being that takes the life of another human being? I do not value life. And God says, I am life. Therefore, I don't value God either. in a nation, the more away, the more we step away from God, the more cruel we'll become. And life becomes more and more meaningless to us as people. It was created by God. Yes, it says, so God created human beings in His image. In the image of God, He created them, male and female. Then God blessed them and said to them, be fruitful and multiply. There's no room there for gold versus weight. There's no place there for that. Fill the earth. Imagine if gold versus weight was passed during the Adam's time. This will be a very empty world. There will be nobody around. That's exactly what it says. Now, we talked about Job. The book of Job, by the way, I encourage you to read the book of Job. And when you read the book of Job, don't look so much about the suffering. Look the God that reveals Himself through that whole experience. I like the verse, especially when Job says, before I knew Him only by hearing, but now I can see Him. And I hope that when you read the book of Job, with that seeking for the real character of God, you'll find out that that book is very revealing. It tells a lot about the God that we worship. If I have been unfair to my male or female servants when they brought their complaint to me, if I am be unjust to them, it says, how could I face God? What could I say when He questioned me? Because all of us, even it doesn't matter if you believe in God or not, you're going to see Him. I rather see Him as my friend than my judge. Or I can see Him as a judge friend. But so bad for people that will see those that say, I don't believe in God. Or you believe when you see Him. You will. What can I say when He questioned me? For God created both me and my servants. He created us both in the womb. So every time you deal with another person, a difficult person, a spouse, a situation that you have going through, whatever it is, remember this text. God creates you and also create the other person. No matter how unfriendly the other person may be, remember God created them too. This is what we learn. He created them both in the womb. 31. Now, this is an individual that we all know and talk about, especially when in prayer meeting we have been talking about him a lot, David. David wrote this in Psalm 22, verse 10, King James Version. I was cast upon you from birth, from my mother's womb. From where? From my mother's womb. You have been my God. This text is very revealing because this coincides, in my opinion, with Romans chapter 2 when it says, by nature we all have the law of God inside of us. Some people may say that we are born messed up, we are born bad. David believed that from his mother's womb he has been always a property of God. Yes, we messed up. We make bad choices. But God is still there, always extending His hand of mercy, trying to rescue us. Don't give up on God because God is not in the business to give up on you. Don't. Treat your life well because that's the greatest gift. It is a presence of God manifesting in you. Certainly, you made my mind and heart. By the way, in the original, actually says, you made my kidneys. Because there was a time when they believed that the kidneys were the center of our emotions. Later on, it came the heart part, but actually it means the mind. Okay, it says, certainly you made my mind. You wove me together. In my mother's womb, you put me together. Psalms 139, verse 13. You can read the whole Psalms 139. It's fabulous. Thou says the Lord, your Redeemer, and he who formed you from the womb. I am the Lord who makes all things, who stretched out the heavens all alone, who spreads abroad the earth by myself. Isaiah 44:24. I'm emphasizing here over and over the womb, the womb. Let me share something for now that you probably never heard this before about load versus weight. The media won't tell you this. It doesn't matter, liberal or conservative, any one of them are talking about this. You probably will not hear this in the news or anywhere. But I read this from a document written by a law professor. He said, many people do not understand why Roe versus Wade passed in 73. Some people say, and the politicians grab it and use it as an opportunity to say, this is a women's right issue. Do you know why the law passed at that time? Actually, it was passed to protect doctors. It has nothing to do with women whatsoever. It was because the doctors were not performing procedures that would put them in liability for criminal charge. So it was illegal for them to do. They say, I won't touch it. And what happened is that people still are making bad choices, and as a result, they become pregnant, and they want to get rid of it. So what they did, they would go to clinics, some place like a drug selling shed in a little corner somewhere, and people there, and there were those butchers there, the people that would get the money, and they have no clean things, and there were ladies that were getting infected, and they would die. So many people were dying. It was a lot of things going on. And so there was a pressure. If we want the doctors to come in, we have to release them from liability. We have to make it the procedure legal. So actually it was to protect the medical field, not necessarily the woman. That was the cover up behind it. They didn't cover up intentionally. Is that the people, when people want to convince themselves about anything, they can talk themselves to death about whatever they want to believe. But that was originally the purpose. Jeremiah says, I knew you before I formed you. Again, in your mother's womb. That's the scripture that we read for today. Before you were born, I set you apart and I appoint you as my prophet to the nations. Brothers and sisters, children are a gift.
Amen.
If a woman makes a mistake, and by the way, there are women that are put in a position against their will. And as a result, they end up pregnant. Conception takes place against their choice. I have met ladies, they were brave enough to say, it was not my choice, it was against my choice, but what I do with this child is my choice. I will not keep it, but I will give to somebody who is desperate to have a child in their arms. And by the way, for every single child that was murdered, there were more than 15 to 20 couples waiting to adopt a child. People that are lovely, kind, and we have given a wonderful future. Do you know how many wonderful scholars have been killed before they were even born? Do you know how many great preacher prophets have been killed? If you ask Satan, Satan knows. If you ask God, God knows. That's why, just like he used techniques to throw the kids, the males, to the crocodiles in Egypt, the same way he convinced Pilate, Herod, to kill innocent people, to go to Bethlehem and kill all the children, all those things, because a child is a gift from God. Children are a gift from God, from the Lord. They are a reward from Him. Sometimes they act like they are not from God at all because they can be very difficult. But I want to remind one thing. Kids become difficult because they have doubts around them. They are not born difficult. They learn to be difficult. So before you punish a child, ask yourself this question. What have I contributed for this child to have such a behavior? If I help this child to be a little bit messed up, it is my responsibility to help this child to figure out a way out of it. Be gracious, be kind, be merciful, be kind to the people in your life that you have to help them to get out of what is wrong. Treat them as a gift from God. Jesus said, a thief comes to steal and kill and destroy. Who he's talking about? Who is the thief that he's talking about? Who is it? Satan and all his agents, volunteers that are always sign up to in a killing business, says, but I came to give life. The thief comes to take life, but God comes to give life. John 10:10, very easy to remember. 10:10. All right. What can a person give in exchange for his life? People are willing to give anything. Jesus Christ said, then he said, be aware, guard against every kind of greed. Life is not measured, but how much you own. Remember, live your life. Enjoy your life. Honor God with your life. Yes, what is the value of a human life? I hope by reading the Bible, you realize that you are God's creation. Amen. When you have life, you have God in you. Amen. That's what the Bible says, we are the temple of the Holy Spirit. We are the containers where God puts life to reside in. Let's treat life properly. Let's live a life with purpose. Let's help those around us that are unfortunate, they have made a mistake. Allow them to know that God is gracious to those that repent. Amen. To those that are willing to change. We are not here to throw rocks on those that have made mistakes. But we need to stand up and say clearly, for you to continue in the same path over and over. You know what they say? When you do something wrong once, we call a lesson, right? You learn from it. But what about if you go and do exactly the same thing again and expect a different result? What do they call it? Yeah, I heard the stupidity. But then it goes on. What about the third time? You're out of your mind. You're cuckoo. If you keep doing exactly the same thing over and over again and never learn from it, let's learn from our mistakes. In closing here, I had an experience that I already shared here in the church before. It was kind of something that I didn't expect. A young lady, I was preaching in one church. I had two churches, our pastor church at that time. I was preaching in one church. The young lady was there. Then the following week, I went to preach another church, and the young lady was there, but this time she was sitting right in front, and she was crying all the time. I had no idea. I said, it's not my preaching. know, I'm not telling anything dramatic here for what is going on. And then after the sermon, she asked if she could speak to me. And she said, Pastor, would God forgive me for killing or murder? She used the word murder, my baby. At that time, I counseled that young lady and says, you know what? There are a lot of people in the Bible that have murdered people. And they end up becoming a man of God.
Amen.
Moses did. And I can go give you a list of people that made terrible mistakes. David did. And they go on. But it's not the mistakes they made. It's how they turn it around and claim God's grace and mercy, how they came back to God and God accepted them. There's none of us adults that deserve to be saved. We all deserve to be lost. It's only by God's grace that we still have life. And not only we still have life, but the life that we have received, it is forever, if we so choose. Now let me ask you this, brothers and sisters. The world talks in a very twisted way, with intent to make things bad look not so bad. So they use the word abortion. They use the terminology pro-choice. You know, every woman has a choice, except when it's against her will. But in most cases that we're talking about here, they had a choice. They made a bad choice, and as a consequence, it came conception. Then they said, you know, how I fix one wrong thing, I need to do another wrong thing to fix what was wrong. So I told this young lady, if you are asking God a chance to start all over again as a brand new individual, they will never make the same mistake again. Then God will extend his hand to you and will rescue. You can go, you can walk away with a sense of forgiveness. God does forgive.
Amen.
But God does not give you forgiveness to enable you to go and do exactly the same thing again.
Amen.
So brothers and sisters, if you see somebody who has made that bad choice, you know, awful choice. I don't know how can some human beings even can live. Because even in my own life, we had two babies that are not in my home. I had Evan Michael. The pain never goes away. He lived 16 days. More than 20 years ago. And it's still painful. How can somebody kill a child? I sincerely do not know. How can a human being go on living, denying a human being the opportunity to enjoy life? Kids, the three of you, when you go home, give a very strong hug to your parents. Don't take for granted. They brought you here. They give you a chance. And so many other people decide to do otherwise. You're very special because they chose to not only give you a chance, but to invest on you. Same thing to you, girls. Go home, embrace your loved mom. Don't take it for granted. It's such a wonderful gift. You too, Michelle. You too. All of us that still have our parents. Our parents made a choice. It's almost like insane choice, isn't it? Because who in this world wants to have a kid that you have to change diapers, you have to go through all this trouble, a lot of trouble. But yet there's something so deep, so divine inside of us, so gracious in us, that tells us, as somebody makes sacrifice for you, it's my turn now to make sacrifice for somebody else. Right, Sister Cheryl? That's the way it is. Those of us that have grandchildren, sometimes as a year ago again, we have to go through the same thing again. Those of you that have children, embrace them, love them, and understand that they are a gift from God.
Amen.
When they misbehave, search God's wisdom and grace.
Amen.
Because it's the same thing that you need yourself. And as the Bible says, we all going to see him very soon.
Amen.
So let's please stand and sing together.